Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Adecoagro's first quarter 2014 results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Mariano Bosch, CEO, Mr. Charlie Boero Hughes, CFO, and Mr. Hernán Walker, Investor Relations Manager. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer section. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Adecoagro's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Adecoagro and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Mariano Bosch, CEO. Mr. Bosch, you may begin your conference.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. The first quarter of 2014 has shown very good results in all our business lines. Our crops, rice, and dairy businesses have started to generate attractive returns. Our discipline of maintaining an efficient cost structure allows us to capture gains and synergies of our high-quality asset base and a sustainable business model focused on returns. In the rice business, although weather and ongoing works of land transformation of our farm have not allowed us to increase yield this season, we have consummated improvement in our operational efficiencies and production costs as a result of our investment in zero-level technology and our focus on agricultural and industrial excellence. In dairy business, the second free stall is almost at full capacity. Feeding cows are rapidly adapting to this new production system. Productivity per cow is consistently increasing quarter after quarter, and we are confident we will be able to reach our highest performance metrics soon. The dairy business is generating attractive returns, and we see good opportunities to continue growing in this business. Finally, in the crop business, although we had a dry November and December, our sustainable model focused on long-term soil productivity, on agricultural and cost efficiency on a hectare-by-hectare basis, and our multi-diversification strategy have allowed us to harvest good crop yields. In the sugar and ethanol business, we are starting a promising year. The first quarter is known as the off-season, generally used to the maintenance of our mills. We have been very active executing our ethanol carry strategy, co-generating electricity at attractive energy prices, planting sugarcane to supply our growing capacity at the Uñema mill, and our agriculture and industrial teams have continued their training process and are ready to continue enhancing operational and productive efficiency. Now, I would like to ask Charlie to walk you through the main operational and financial highlights of the quarter. Charlie, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining Adecoagro's earnings call for the first quarter of 2014. I would like to walk you through a few slides that reflect the main operational and financial highlights of the quarter. Let's move ahead to page two, where I will analyze the impact of the weather on our farming business. The chart shows the monthly rainfall evolution for our farms located in the humid pampas of Argentina. The green bars represent rainfall during the  2012 and 2013 crop, and the orange bars represent the current 2013 and 2014 crop. As observed in the chart, the main productive regions of Argentina suffered lack of rains together with high temperatures from December 2013 to mid-January 2014. However, since mid-January 2014, rains have normalized and returned to their historical levels. Our sustainable production model based on no-till farming, crop rotations, balanced fertilization, and integrated pest management has allowed our farms to mitigate the abnormal weather during November and December and capture efficiency gains. As a result, crops have been able to develop as expected, generating an increase in yields and margins compared to the previous crop. Moving on to page 3, I would like to give you an update regarding the harvest of our main crops. As you may see on the upper left chart, as of the end of April 2014, the harvest of rice was almost completed, reaching 94% of total planted area. Harvested yields were 5.7 tons per hectare, in line with the previous harvest year, but below our expectations. Supply of water in dams and rivers was sufficient to flood the rice fields throughout the crop cycle. However, during mid-February through April, higher than normal amount of cloudy and rainy days had a negative impact on yields at some of our farms, given that the plants require sunlight for photosynthesis and plant growth. We expect yields to improve in the upcoming harvest years, as we continue with the transformation process and zero leveling of our rice farms. Let's move to corn in the upper right chart. The harvested area for corn as of April of 2014 totaled 11,000 hectares, or 24% of the total planted area. Seeking to diversify our crop risk and water requirements, we planted different corn seed varieties at different planting dates. Early corn varieties were planted in September, and late corn was planted during the end of November and December of 2013. The early corn was negatively affected by the lack of rainfall and high temperatures during December and early January, which occurred during the flowering phase or critical growth period. The late corn areas, however, have received an adequate amount of rainfalls as of January 20th, which allowed for the normal development of the crop. Harvesting for late corn will begin in mid-May and is expected to offset the yield reduction in the early corn crop. In aggregate, we expect corn yields to be above the previous harvest year. In the bottom left chart, you will find the status of our soybean crop. As of the end of April of 2014, we harvested 36% of the soybean crop. Harvest is developing on schedule. Moderate and timely rains from January to March have allowed the crop to develop above expectations. We have currently generated yields of 2.9 tons per hectare and expect final yields to be above the previous harvest season. Lastly, regarding soybean second crop, harvesting started during the last stage of April of 2014, but the bulk of the harvest will occur during the mid-May. Normalized weather experienced during February has allowed the crop to develop above expectations. At the end of April, 14% of the area has been harvested, obtaining yields of 2 tons per hectare or 43% above the previous harvest year. As we continue to harvest the crop, we expect yields to stay higher compared to the previous harvest year. Moving on to slide 4, I'd like to analyze the financial performance for our farming business. Adjusted EBIT for crop segment increased to 20.6 million in the first quarter of 2014 from 14.1 million in the first quarter of 2013. 45.8% growth is primarily explained by higher yields and lower production costs, driven by efficiency gains and the devaluation of the Argentine peso, which diluted our peso costs measured in dollar terms. In the rice segment, adjusted EBIT totaled 12.1 million in the first quarter of 2014, making a 269% increase versus the first quarter of 2013. This growth is explained by a larger harvested area and lower production costs, driven by the implementation of zero-level production technology and the depreciation of the Argentine peso. In the case of the dairy segment, adjusted EBIT grew to $1.4 million in the first quarter of 2014, compared to slightly negative in the first quarter of 2013. This increase is explained by a 12.1% increase in our dairy cow herd, driven by the ramp-up of the second freestall dairy facility, and enhanced by a 10.4% increase in cow productivity. Average productivity grew from 30.3 liters per cow per day to 33.5 liters in the first quarter of 2014. Operational performance during the quarter was offset by a 7.1% decrease in meat prices, which fell from 42 cents per liter in the first quarter of 2013 to 39 per liter in the first quarter of 2014. Production costs per liter of milk produced decreased by 16%, driven by the increase in productivity and the devaluation of the Argentine peso, and offset by high costs resulting from a larger cow herd. As a result, adjusted EBIT in the first quarter of 2014 reached $1.4 million, marking a significant increase to the first quarter of 2013. The operational enhancements in the crops, rice and dairy segments were offset by an unrealized loss related to the mark-to-market of our crop derivative hedge positions in the first quarter of 2014, contrasted to a $2.8 million gain in the first quarter of 2013. In conclusion, consolidated adjusted EBIT for our farming segment grew from $16.5 million in the first quarter of 2013 to $34.1 million in the first quarter of 2014, marking a 106% increase. Let's turn to slide 5 and move on to our sugar, ethanol, and energy business. We will start by analyzing the monthly rainfalls at our cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul compared to rains in the state of São Paulo. As you may see in the chart, rains during January and February in the cluster have been very close to the historical average, while rains during March and April have exceeded the historical average. The good level of rains received during the first 4 months of the year has allowed our sugarcane plantation to recover from the drought experienced during November and December of 2013. In the case of São Paulo, the main sugarcane region in Brazil, rains during 2014 have been significantly lower than those in Mato Grosso do Sul and below the 15-year historical average for the state. As a result, the center-south region is expected to reduce its productivity, which may have an impact on Brazilian sugar exports and world prices. Let's turn to page 6. I would like to highlight that in sugar, ethanol, and energy business, the first 3 months of the year are commonly known as the inter-harvest season. During this summer month, due to very favorable growth conditions, sugarcane plant growth is stimulated and less energy stored in the form of sugar. As a result, mills suspended their crushing activities while equipment and machinery undergoes maintenance in preparation for the upcoming harvest year. In the first quarter, mills also focused on the renewal and expansion of their sugarcane plantations. The chart on the left shows that during the first quarter of 2014, we planted a total of 9.6 thousand hectares of sugarcane, 50% higher than the area planted in the first quarter of 2013. Of this total area, 5.5 thousand hectares correspond to new areas planted to supply additional sugarcane to our cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul, which is expected to reach 5 million tons of nominal capacity in 2015 with the expansion of the second phase of the mill. And 4.1 thousand hectares were planted to renew old plantations with newer and high-yielding sugarcane in order to maintain the productivity of our plantation. The increase in planted area was accomplished as a result of higher planting efficiencies and favorable weather. The chart on the right shows that as of March the 31st of 2013, our sugarcane plantation consisted of 140,000 hectares, representing a 19% growth year over year. Sugarcane planting continues to be a key strategy to supply our mills with quality raw material at low cost. Let's move on to slide 7, where I would like to discuss our strategic ethanol carry. As you may see in the chart, ethanol prices reached their lowest levels during August 2013, which is the peak of the sugarcane harvest. As a result of oversupply of ethanol at harvest, hydrous prices fell to 1,085 reais per cubic meter. At that time, we decided to reduce our monthly sales volumes and started storing ethanol in our storage tanks of the mill in order to capture higher prices during the harvest season. As a result, by the end of 2013, we held ethanol inventories of 74,000 cubic meters. Ethanol prices continued increasing during the harvest season, mainly as a result of a decrease in ethanol supply since mills do not operate during the in-harvest period, and more competitive hydrous pricing versus gasoline as the pumps increased demand. As we may see in the chart, hydrous ethanol prices appreciated from January to March, reaching over 1,430 reais per cubic meter. Ethanol prices were not only higher quarter over quarter, but were also 13% higher year over year in real terms. The current strategy allowed us to capture significantly higher prices for our ethanol production and increase our margins and return on invested capital. As you may see on page 8, the increase in ethanol inventories drove our sales volumes to increase by 24% and the net sales in dollars to increase by 10%, offset by the depreciation of the Brazilian real. Let's turn to slide 9 of the presentation, where I would like to discuss our energy business. I would like to start by highlighting that hydropower is Brazil's main source of electricity and accounts for almost 80% of all electricity generation. If we take a look at the graph on the top left, you will see that reservoirs in the southeast and midwest of the country, which represent 70% of the country's water supply, were at 36% of the water storage capacity by March of 2014. Reservoirs tend to be depleted during the dry winter and later refilled in the rainy season between December and March. However, because most of southeast and midwest of Brazil experienced below average rainfall between November 2013 and March of 2014, and growing demand, water levels in Brazil's hydroelectric reservoirs were not able to be replenished. As a result, between February and March of 2014, reservoirs reached their lowest levels since 2001. With the dry winter approaching and energy demands increasing, fossil fuel reserve power plants have been operating at full capacity in order to mitigate the fall in electricity supply. As a result, if we take a look at the table on the top right, you will see that from the beginning of February, energy spot prices have been trading at 822 reais per megawatt hour, which is the maximum rate authorized by the government. These prices compare to 414 reales per megawatt hour and 215 reales per megawatt hour recorded in January and February of 2013 and to an annual average of 263 reales per megawatt hour in 2013. In order to capture these highly attractive energy prices, on March the 7th of 2014, we turned on the boilers at our Angelica mill to co-generate electricity while burning the stockpile of the gas left over from the previous harvest. The chart on the lower left shows that we produced a total of 15.3 thousand megawatt hours in the first quarter of 2014, marking a 607% increase compared to the first quarter of 2013. The chart on the lower right shows that the increases in sales volumes coupled with the increase in energy prices boosted our energy net sales over 1,000% year over year. I would now like to move to slide 10, where I would like to analyze the operational performance of our sugar, ethanol, and energy business. The graph on the top left shows that net sales in the first quarter of 2014 reached 48.5 million, 22% above the first quarter of 2013. As discussed in the last two slides, the growth in net sales was primarily driven by our ethanol carry and our ability to capture the current peak energy prices. As you may see in the top right chart, that gross profit from manufacturing activity increased 11%, driven by the increase in net sales and partially offset by higher production costs. Despite the growth in net sales and gross profit, if you take a look at the graph on the bottom right, you will see that adjusted EBITDA decreased to 3.8 million in the first quarter of 2014 from 14.9 million in the first quarter of 2013. The main explanation for this reduction is our sugar hedge position. As you may see in the bottom left chart, our sugar hedge position generated a 1.4 million loss in the first quarter of 2014 compared to a $9.6 million gain in the first quarter of 2013. As of March the 31st of 2014, we have hedged 152,000 tons of sugar, representing approximately 35% of our estimated production, at an average price of 18.4 cents per pound. Since sugar prices continue to be driven by the drought in Brazil's center south region, the market of our hedge position generated a loss. However, approximately 65% of our production is unhedged and will be sold at the higher market prices. Adjusted EBITDA was also affected by an increase in sugarcane crop treatment expenses. Crop treatment increased by 11% from 6.7 million in the first quarter of 2013 to 7.5 million in the first quarter of 2014, driven by increasing the size of our plantation. We will now turn to page 11, which shows the evolution of Adecoagro's consolidated operational and financial performance. On a consolidated basis, net sales decreased year over year from 102.9 million in the first quarter of 2013 to 94.5 million in the first quarter of 2014. The 8% decrease was brought about by a 27% decrease in sales from our farming business and offset by a 22% increase in sales from the sugar, ethanol, and energy segment. Even though net sales were lower year over year, adjusted EBITDA in the first quarter of 2014 totaled 34.7 million, representing a 5.7 million or 19.7% increase compared to the first quarter of 2013. Adjusted EBITDA margin during the period increased from 28.2% to 36.6%. We expect Adecoagro's production volumes and financial performance to continue growing, mainly driven by the ramp-up of the Ivinema mill and the increase in operational and financial efficiencies in each of our businesses. Let's move on to page 12. The chart on the top left shows that as of March the 31st of 2014, Adecoagro's gross debt stands at 790 million, marking a 20% increase to the previous quarter. Debt related to our farming business increased by 20 million, marking a 17% increase quarter over quarter, and debt related to our sugar and ethanol business increased by 109 million, marking a 20% increase quarter over quarter. The farming business short-term debt increased by 20%. From a seasonality point of view, the first quarter is the one that requires the highest working capital since all of our crops are planted and most costs incurred, because only a small amount of the crops have been harvested and sold as of the end of the quarter, we expect to reduce working capital and debt as we continue harvesting and selling throughout the second and third quarters. In the sugar, ethanol, and energy business, long-term debt increased by 25%. On March the 25th of 2014, we entered into a syndicated loan with ING Bank in an amount equal to $100 million with a 4-year tenor and bearing an interest rate of 3-month LIBOR plus 4.20%. The loan will be used to finance the construction of the second phase of the Ivinema mill, which will expand milling capacity to 5 million tons per year by 2015. I'd like to highlight that on a consolidated basis, our debt maturity profile has improved as we shifted a portion of our short-term debt to long-term debt. If you take a look at the graph on the top left, you can see that 80% of our debt is in the long term, composed mainly of loans from multilateral banks such as the BNDES, Banco do Brasil, and the Inter-American Development Bank. Lastly, total cash as of March the 31st of 2014 was $247 million, 7% above the fourth quarter of 2013. As a result of the increase in outstanding debt and cash, net debt as of March the 31st of 2014 was $542.7 million, $114.7 million above the fourth quarter of 2013. Thank you very much for your time. We are now open to questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone at this time or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question comes from Isabella Simonato with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My question is related to CapEx and debt. I understand that you anticipated the second phase of Ivinema, so I was wondering what's the target leverage for the year end of 2014 and what is the CapEx estimated for the year? Thank you.
Hello, Isabella. This is Mariano. I would ask Charlie Boero, our CFO, to answer your question.
Hi, Isabella. The target for the year, it's an investment in the sugar and ethanol business for the construction of the second phase of Ivinema. We are projecting to spend $250 million in total. This is considering the industry, the ag equipment, and the planting.
This only for the sugar and ethanol?
Yes, exactly. This only also includes the maintaining capex for those industry and the renewal of the sugarcane.
And regarding the leverage, the net debt to EBITDA, what is the target for the year?
We do not give guidance, as you know, but we estimate that we will be in a range of 2.6 to 2.8.
Good. Thank you.
The next question comes from Enrico Grimaldi with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My question is regarding your energy business. Can you please just remind us how much of contracted energy do you have and at what price and how much you can sell it in the spot market for as a whole? And also, how was this breakdown for the first Q specifically? I mean, how much was contracted sales and how much was sold in the spot market? And if you could share with us the prices you got in the spot market, this Q, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Hello, Enrico. This is Mariano. For the first part of your question, that is how much we have already contracted and how much we still have to contract, we do have 60% of our energy for this year, 2014, that has the long-term contracts or is part of the long-term contracts that are in an average price of 210 reales per megawatt. Then we have another 20% that has been already contracted for this year, that is in around 345 reales per megawatt. And then we have the last 20% that is being sold at the spot markets and will be sold during the year at the spot markets, whatever that is, that today is this 820 and 22. And then particularly for the quarter that you were asking specifically how much was sold at the different price, we had 18% sold at 600 reales per megawatt, 41% sold at 822, and 39% sold at 181, that was our original long-term contract. That was for 15,000 megawatt hour.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone now. The next question comes from Giovanna Araujo with Itaú BBA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My question is also about the energy sales. Looking 2015, do you have an idea how much energy you will have available for sale in the spot market in 2015, already taking account of the ramp-up of VMMU in volumes, no? Megawatt hour.
Right. Giovanna, this year we are projecting in average 400,000 megawatt hour for the whole year. And for 2015, we are projecting 570,000, that includes the growth of the Ivinyema mill and the second phase of the Ivinyema mill. Within that growth, we only have contracted 250,000 megawatt hour. So it's less than 50%.
Okay, perfect. And do you plan to? Okay. Do you plan to participate in any energy auction this year?
Yes, we are analyzing those energy options. Depending on the price, we may take advantage and participate. We are thinking on the A-1. And to participate on those ones, we don't like to match the A minus zero because we think the spot prices this year will continue attractive, so we don't want to lose the spot prices of this year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone. The next question comes from Vincenzo Paternostro with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My question is on land market in Argentina. Have you seen any impact on land price as a consequence of the huge depreciation of Argentina pesos? That's my question. Thank you.
Hello, Vincenzo. This is Mariano. Yes, we do see some impact on the land prices because of the devaluation, and this is a positive income. Land is now generating more dollars per hectare, so that's why prices of land have a slight increase in dollars. When you think about the land prices in Argentina.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to register a question, press star, then one on your telephone. The next question comes from Ravi Jain with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I had a couple of questions on the sugar ethanol front. What is your view on the prospects of an increasing in the ethanol blend to 27.5%? And when do you expect to see a meaningful fuel price increase? Would it be at the end of this year or would it be only in 2015?
Again, Ravi, can you repeat the question? We couldn't hear pretty clear.
No worries. The first question was, what is your view on the increase in ethanol blend to 27.5%? And the second question is, when do you expect to see a fuel price increase allowed by the government? Would it be closer to the end of 2014, or do you expect it to happen only a meaningful increase in 2015?
Okay, I'm going to ask Marcelo Sanchez, our commercial director that is with us, to take your question. Marcelo, please.
Hi, Ravi, good morning. It's a very good question. What I would say is that as of today, the known thing about the increase in the blend is that it's still at the commission stage at the Congress. And actually, there was a positive news today that passed through the commission, but it's still a long way until it is approved and passed all the steps to go as a law. And the second part of your question regarding the increase in price of the gasoline, there had been a long discussion on this, and at government level as well, as you might be aware of. And we expect. An increase in the price by the end of this year, and that is exactly what we are today expecting. Then there won't be the increase won't be. We're not expecting an increase, a big increase in price, but there will be a movement in price by the end of the year. That's our expectation.
Thank you. That makes sense. And the second question was, in terms of your strategy of land acquisitions, are you looking at purchasing land in the shorter term in Brazil or in other parts of Latin America? I just wanted to know your strategy on that front.
Okay, Ravi. As we have been always saying, we are looking for land in South America. We are searching and we are analyzing potential opportunities in Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Bolivia, and Colombia. Those are the places where we are really looking seriously at different potential opportunities. But we haven't achieved yet the returns we want in order to be able to buy the land, so that's why you haven't seen us acquiring land. So the hard returns that we are asking for the land, we are not seeing them there on the different opportunities that we are analyzing. So if the return appears, you may see us buying land. But if we don't see the returns that we are willing to obtain, we won't.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Once more, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone. Mr. Mariano, would you like to provide any closing remarks?
Sure. We have started a new year fully motivated to develop our plans. On the farming, we are in the middle of the harvest season, and we have shown in our results. Our land transformation model is paying off. On the sugar and ethanol, we started a new campaign in our cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul in optimal operational conditions. And our employees, contractors, and stakeholders are completely aligned to obtain the maximum efficiencies in our production. 2014 will be a year full of challenges, and we will continue with our discipline of creating value for the company and deliver attractive returns to our shareholders. Thank you very much. See you next meeting.
Thank you. This thus concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines and have a nice day.